Now, a huge survey in the US recently discovered that 42% of Americans are avoiding promotions at work. Why? And is it the same story here? Well, I don't know, but career psychologist Sinead Brady does. Sinead, how are you? You're very welcome along to the show.
Good morning, Laura. How are you?
I'm not so bad now. I'm really intrigued to hear about this because you naturally think, and I suppose how we were all raised, you know, that you're like constantly like striving and thriving to get to the top of your game and go as far as you possibly can. But why are people actively avoiding promotions these days?
So it's really interesting. We've just gone through kind of a season in careers whereby corporate ladders and progression and to the next level was considered the most important thing in your life. And we have this kind of really deeply ingrained career ethic. And if you didn't go for the next promotion and if you weren't kind of moving up the ladder, you were seen as not necessarily ambitious or not necessarily doing success the right way. But we've seen this shift in terms of how people engage with their careers. And what they're saying is, I am ambitious. I'm really engaged in my career, but not at the cost of my well-being.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to go to the next level. I'm not willing to do the next job or promotion if that means that I can't spend time with people who make me smile, if I can't get out and do my exercise, if I don't have the energy to enjoy my weekends. So what they're saying is things like autonomy, flexibility, and meaningful work plus financial security are really significant drivers. Title and progression is not as important anymore.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because how can a promotion, like let's say if you've gone for a promotion, how can that take away from the part of the job that you absolutely love?
Yeah, so this is the really interesting part. Often what people don't realise is when you are promoted, you're often promoted because of your technical ability to do the role that you're currently doing. And the next role is a change in tempo, it's a change in pace, but it's also a change in the what, the function of what you're doing. So unless you really understand what the function of what you're doing is, so what I see all the time is people come to me saying, I didn't realise that I was going to be managing people.
Yeah.
But I never wanted to manage people. Like, this is just not what I wanted. And then suddenly they're kind of dealing with all of these really difficult, nuanced problems that come with human behaviour. And they're going, this is not what I signed up for. But not only that, who's ever taught how to do that, Laura?
Yeah.
You know, there's no, like, we don't get taught how to lead teams of people, how to manage teams of people. And then suddenly you're in kind of like a salary negotiation with somebody and you're going, how do I negotiate their salary? I don't even know how to negotiate my own.
Yeah.
How do I, you know, so these things that were never taught, suddenly become something that we have to do for somebody else. And we're going, I didn't sign up for this. Not only did I not sign up for it, I don't know how to do it. And then you get really kind of caught up in it and really upset by it, because at the back of it all, the majority of people are really good people and want to do good for somebody else. And then it begins to impact their own well-being and the well-being of their team, and things just begin to fall apart. So it's really important, I think, you know, as an individual, if you do want those promotions and raises and all that kind of traditional stuff, great, but make sure that part of your negotiation for that is, you know, will I get the training? Will I get the support? Will I get the coaching that I need in order to be able to do this? Or make sure that you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to manage people. I lead with that.
There's so many parts of that, like the money management part of that, and like negotiating salaries for other people is wild, because as Irish people, we're absolutely allergic to talking about money anyway. You know, it's something that we try to break the cycle on. But the other side of that is, and this has happened to one of my friends before, where they have had a great team and have had brilliant work friends. But when you move into a managerial role, it shifts. Because you're now someone's boss. You have to change how you behave around them, and you're not necessarily their friend anymore because you're making life decisions with them. Talk to us about some of the human benefits that people might lose if they go for that big job. Like, you know, like making friends with your peers in the office.
Yeah, so that's a really, like, that's something that people don't think about. You know, when I cross this line from colleague to people manager or leader, what does that look like and what does that mean? So that's a real human cost as an individual. And sometimes for that reason, you know, when you're working with people, they look at really strategic decisions and they're like, you know, if I'm going for promotion into leadership, it's actually out of this team or out of this organization so that I'm maintaining those friendships and colleagues in a way that, you know. So that's the first thing. The second thing is autonomy and flexibility. So sometimes with roles, when you go into a role, there is a restriction on the flexibility, or there's the perceived restriction on flexibility. So, for example, you may not be able to work from home as frequently as you used to. You may have to be, like, there's a requirement to be in the office for particular days or particular meetings that are essential for you when you're in this role that you didn't realise was actually really important. So, or sometimes it is like, we have to get this over the line and there's no flexibility on who's there. You just have to be there. So it's really, you know, and that's a very much a cultural issue, but it is something that you have to look up and look around and ask yourself, when I look at the people in my organization that are doing the role that I'm going to be promoted into, or I would like to be promoted into, does this look like a life and a version of success that I would like to live? Does this look like the type of life, you know, do I want to be here after X time? Do I want to be in the office every day? If that's what the culture that you're in requires it. Some organisations don't, some organisations do, but you must look up and look around to make sure that what you see is appealing to you.
Yeah. Talk to me about a curvy career. What's that?
Oh, I love curvy careers, Laura. So linear careers are careers that are the traditional, you know, age and stage. By 20, you do this. By 30, you do that. By 40, you do this. 50, yeah, and so on. Curvy careers are looking at careers and going, that's not how life works. You know, I picked a career at 17 and now I'm in my kind of late 20s, early 30s. I want to shift. I want to upskill, reskill or retrain. So a curvy career is one that recognises that life actually happens alongside your career and that your career is part of your life, not that your life is part of your career, you know. So it recognises that your career is just part of who you are. And it's like, you know what? If I need to take time out for caring for a loved one, if I need time out to protect my mental health, if I need time out for whatever reason, I'm going to take that time out and I may move into a different role, one that provides the financial security that I need. It covers my outgoings, but it gives me the opportunity to upskill, reskill or retrain. It just gives me the opportunity to think. So I'm going to be underemployed for a little while, or I'm going to take some time out and I'm going to maybe move to a different part of the country where it's cheaper to do so, where I know, you know. So you're actually looking at your career through a completely different lens and saying, I'm choosing my life alongside my career rather than my career. You know, the two yeah. are intertwined fully with each other. So curvy careers are the careers of the future. That's where you're going, I can sustain this level of engagement with my career. I can be ambitious.
The interesting thing that you touched on was the fact that we're not just living to work anymore. You know, we're working to live. We're flipping the narrative on its head.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's talk about the generation that are currently coming to the end of their careers and what we can learn from them, Sinead.
Yeah, so there's been really interesting studies done on the generation that are currently coming to the end of their careers. And one of them is the Harvard study of adult development. And what they have found in this is that at the end of life, at the end of careers, people are saying the biggest regret that they have is not that they work, that they wish they had worked harder, but actually they wish that they had spent more time with deepening relationships and on their well-being. Yeah. So at the very time that people begin to intensify their work, which is kind of their 30s and 40s, people at the end of their career are saying, I wish I hadn't done that. They're saying, I wish I had invested in my relationships, because if I'd invested in my relationships, my career would have been more satisfying.
Yeah, because you would have enjoyed going to work a little bit more because you're stressed all the time. It's just, it's such a hard thing to navigate though, because it's so easy to say that, but at the same time, you're like, I want to do well in my career and I need to be able to work hard. But, you know, if you're missing family weddings and occasions and nights out with your friends, like, you look back and everybody else has these memories and you don't, you're the one that's left out of it.
But here's the thing, Laura, this is about sustainable success. Mm. And you're asking yourself, okay, what's my definition of success? And if I continue at this pace for the rest of my career, can I do that?
Yeah.
And if you can't, you risk burnout. And burnout, the clinical form of burnout, is really hard to recover from. So if you can manage to find a tempo that works for you within an organization that supports that type of life, then you will have a sustainable career, a curvy career, but a sustainable one, one that you can engage with across the lifespan of your life without becoming unwell while maintaining relationships. So any job that asks you to sacrifice your well-being for success you have to ask yourself, is this what I want?
Yeah, there's a lot to think about there as well, but like
there really is,
but it's putting it into the simple terms as well of, hang on a second, aren't we supposed to be here to enjoy ourselves? So
yes,
like there's a lot of that too. Sinead, thank you so much for that. Thanks for coming back to us as
a
well.
A pleasure,
really,
Laura, not at all.
As I said, that is Sinead Brady, the career psychologist, and you can find her at the career psychologist on Instagram. Sinead, we'll chat to you later. Thanks a million.
See you later. Bye, Laura.
Bye, 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 bye.